Saturday night may come down to who has the most explosive plays. Michigan State in the run game, Nebraska in the passing game. If there is a weakness on defense for Michigan State, the cornerbacks are not great, but their safeties are great. This is a Michigan State defense that they do tackle well. They gave up 17 points to Miami. They limited Miami near the red zone. They forced turnovers. They had three sacks, but they have a penchant for giving up passing yards. They will give you the underneath stuff. So Adrian's arm may be more important than his legs, and a little pitch and catch with the plethora of weapons that he has. He's going to have two healthy tight ends that are back. He'll have Torre. He'll have Manning. He'll have Betts. Will they stretch the field, or will they take what is just given to them? Just take what Michigan State offers to you, march right down the field, and then get to the tension convention that has ailed Nebraska so far this year when they've had opportunities, is to punch it into the end zone and get seven more than three. That'll be important again in this game, is when you have a chance to score seven, score seven. Any points are great, but not knowing what's going to happen with Connor Culp or who's going to be kicking, and knowing that it's not always a guarantee when you travel inside of the 30 or even inside of the 20-yard line, technically the red zone, got to put a point. Seven is much better than three. I think Adrian will have opportunities in the passing game on Saturday night. Just simple pitch and catch, and we'll see how quickly Michigan State changes. I don't know that Nebraska is going to be able to run the ball. I just do not see much of them running the ball. This is a Michigan State defense that has only given up two touchdowns on the ground, only a little over 3 yards per carry. And you know Nebraska struggles against Oklahoma running the football and whatever you're going to get out of the offensive line. Now, I think Ramir Johnson would be somebody that would be key in this game as well to bounce it to the outside. I don't think Nebraska can line up and pound between the tackles for 40 carries a game. Unless that gives you explosive plays, because watch at the end of the night who has the most explosive plays, and that might tell you everything you know about who's going to be the winner in this game. The winner in college football, there is an interesting, and I brought this up to Jacob earlier. We do this, fans do it, media definitely do it, and with September games, is you overreact to one game for the good or the bad. Must be a nice standard when you're at Alabama, where you go to Florida. Everybody had the point spread in the back of your mind. Hey, they're two touchdown favorites. And you're able to hold on in that game, not play exceptionally well, brand new quarterback on the road in his first true road start. 1-2, Florida, or 1-5, Florida had a chance to make it really interesting. And then all of a sudden, there is parity in college football, and is the run of Alabama over? Is what happened at the Swamp telling us what's going to happen in the future? I do believe that there is parity in college football. There are more quality players playing across college football. Yeah, the big boys still hoard a lot of the talent, but there is some good football players that are spread out across college football. Coaching becomes even more important nowadays, but there is talent a lot of places. Some places have a deeper pool of talent than others, but college football is in a good spot right now with the talent that is spread out. So there is the potential to have some parity that develops. Now, this could all be squashed when we get to the playoff and it's the same old four. But Alabama needs to be beat for anybody to say, they're done. They won a game. They found a way to win. It was at Florida. They knew they would not be a polished product this early in the season. We do this to ourselves all the time as we overreact. Don't overreact to Alabama. Somebody's got to beat Alabama. Now, I feel bad for Southern Miss this weekend. That's who Alabama plays. But watch Ole Miss, Alabama play next week. But parity in college football, I would listen to that discussion, because I think the spreading out of talent, I see more in college football. There are not as many bad teams. There's a lot of middle-of-the-pack teams. There's the tier of good, gooder, made-up name, or word, I beg your pardon. And then there's maybe that level of great that Alabama has 1 foot in and 1 foot out, and Georgia has Uga's right paw in and Uga's left paw out. But the talent, I think, is pretty spread out. You can go to almost nearly every roster, and you're going to find at least a couple of players that make you go, hmm. Other places, you're going to find 20 to 30 guys. Some places, you'll find 40 to 50 guys. But let's stop the Alabama future. It's going to be end. It's coming to an end. They've got to be beat. Until they've been beaten, they're still Alabama, and they're still number one in the country. But college football, because of the spreading out of players, that has led to some, look at that result this weekend. And may lead to more chaos, which we are hoping for, just like 2007 or 1990. We're hoping for success this weekend in fantasy football. I am 0-2 in-house here. And people here talk smack. I got a GM that's all over me about beating me pretty badly in fantasy football. I mean, yeah, that's the kind of the reaction I had. I said, just keep it moving there, Sonny. I need some help. You need some help. Joe Bortle from RotoWire is coming up next to help all of us. Bobby Witt Jr. at the bottom of the hour. The most hyped prospect, maybe since Clint Hurdle in the Royal system. Maybe. Maybe if you remember Clint Hurdle. Remember he appeared on the cover of Sports Illustrated? That's taking you way back. He's the real deal if you had a chance to watch him play, and he'll join us coming up at 1:30 on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. All right, week three begins tonight. Carolina and Houston. You will watch the game. You will enjoy it. And then you will watch the rest of the weekend. And FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, they hope that you watch Philadelphia and Dallas. Here's all you have to do. FanDuel, they make things easy on you. And the biggest game of the week will be Philadelphia and Dallas. The rivals meet at Jerry's World. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because they're going to give new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. Yeah, you heard me right. 30-1 odds on either Philadelphia or Dallas to win. That means when your week three is over with FanDuel Sportsbook, you could win $150 on just a $5 bet. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite. Philadelphia is not that far away from being 2-0. Dallas, defensively, much better against Justin Herbert and the Chargers last weekend. Now they're home playing at Jerry's World for the first time this year. Do you like Dallas, 3.5-point favorite? What about Jalen Hurts against that Dallas secondary? What can he do? Or what can Ezekiel Elliott do on the ground? You could put all that together in a same-game parlay on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one-rated sportsbook app. It is sports betting made simple, and FanDuel is always looking to hook you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code Gary162 this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Just remember to use promo code Gary162 so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 over, present Iowa. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Maximum bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.